Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
And friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from textile to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is to share. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends. And I'm getting tweets all the time. Why do you say Sunday night edition? Because we have a replay of Max and Friends on Monday. So I don't want you to all get confused and think that I moved from my Sunday night, it's almost 7 years now, to Monday. They've just loved the show so much that they replay it on Monday. What can I tell you all? It's a good thing. It is a good thing. How is your life, people? Mine is big. I keep reaching. You know, ever since we did that Oprah The Life You Want tour, I've seen life in a different perspective. Have you? Tweet me at Max Tucci. I can't even say my own name, and I'll tell you why. Because I'm switching my vocabulary. I don't say I'm tired anymore. I'm looking forward to my second wind. And that's what I'm looking forward to. And I'll tell you why. Wednesday night, we hosted an amazing, and I chaired an amazing event for Neighbors for Neighbors. So it was called Victor Victoria at Lips in Fort Lauderdale. And they put us in drag. And we raised like $20,000 for Neighbors for Neighbors at Lips. So to everyone at Lips, thank you for your talent, because you made us look really good. It was like the Birdcage reenacted. It was incredible. Then, from all the hooting and hollering, y'all can hear my voice is kind of in a state of its own being right now. I think that's where we all are. But my voice was like, you know what, Max, peace out. Be still and know I'll be back when you need me. So, last night, I chaired an event for CMT6, which is this rare disease. If you've been following me on Twitter, you've been learning about it. And basically, I was the MC last night for this other event at Ferrari was one of my sponsors, at Ferretti Yachts in wonderful Fort Lauderdale. So what had happened was I lost my voice, okay? And now I'm like, I can't speak and I have to MC. So I get all these crystals out, all my aquamarines and amber, and I'm putting everything around my neck, and I'm wrapping myself with a Vanessa Noel cashmere scarf, and I'm staying all warm and good. And then I was like, okay, now this is like major, because I have this event. So I go on Facebook. I said, I need y'all to send me your love and send me your energy. And I went on Twitter, and y'all did, and I love you for it. That's why I'm speaking. But also, my guest is going to join us in just a moment. Sandra Curry is back. But she's like, Max, have somebody run down to the local store and pick up this amazing product called Alkalol. I think that's what it's called. A-L-K-A-L-O-L. And it is literally like founded in the late 1800s. It's all these miraculous herbs and berries, and it's really, really good for you, okay? So basically, you gargle with it. It's like a nasal wash. I fell in love with this product, and Walgreens has a sale right now for the next month. You save $4. It was $5.99, so I donated $1 to American Diabetes Association. It was like all a good thing, right? Put out the good energy, because every action has a reaction. Bam! So the action for my reaction came back, and my voice is here. Through all of your wonderful energy and through this amazing product that literally I'm going to keep by my side all the time now, called Alkalol. And we've been tweeting each other back and forth, the wonderful people at Alkalol, and I was like, I'm going to play your commercial tonight. So send me something, what you have. I love the product. So let's get that ready right now. We're going to play it. And when we're back, Sandra Curry, you all know her, because she's been on OWN, Love Thy Neighbor, and of course, Hangover 1, 2, and 3, and there's so many amazing new things coming out that she's going to talk about, and we're just going to talk about life and a good time. So until then, I want you to know, it's like a PSA for alcohol, so hit it. And when we're back, Sandra Curry joins me.
Fitness expert, and if you're watching me and struggling with sinusitis, allergies, or just a stuffy, runny nose, listen up. I have an amazing option for you that won't have some of those side effects, some of these pills we take that just make you tired and not feel so good. This is going to give you immediate relief. And by the way, it's been around for over 100 years. It's just our best kept secret. It's nasal irrigation, but nasal irrigation specifically using an amazing product available at CVS for under 10 bucks called Alkalol. Now, Alkalol is a saline solution with these invigorating extracts and essential oils. It's, I'm going to say, refreshingly strong. It's not going to blow your head off. It's just going to make you feel, soothed and cleaned and clear. I tell people it's like getting spring cleaning for your nose. So if you've got these irritated nasal passages and you're just going, what do I do? How can I feel better? Nasal irrigation with Alkalol, and you will be emailing me and thanking me for this. It's incredible. In fact, clinical study showed that in 70% of people who suffered with sinusitis, they found significant improvements in their symptoms. That's incredible, just with daily use of Alkalol. Try it. You'll be hooked too. This is one you want to keep in your medicine cabinet. You'll never worry when you start to get that really dry, irritated nasal passages. This is a quick fix. You'll feel better immediately. Again, Alkalol, available at CVS. Keep it at your house too.
Max and Friends. He says what he wants. Ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic from sex style to gossip. Listen and to hear what Max is to share. LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
We're back, we're back. And that was just like, I had to get it out there so you all know of this new product. But before I invite Sandra on, I've got to say thank you to a couple people last night because they were major sponsors. And I love you all for being sponsors of the Hereditary Neuropathy Foundation. It's who we raised the money for last night at Ferretti Yachts in Fort Lauderdale, Havana Nights, King Jewelers, Lamborghini of Palm Beach, Chatterham of Palm Beach, Hot Living Magazine, Ferrari and Maserati of Fort Lauderdale, and Carl F. Boucherer. Thank you guys so much for sponsoring last night's event, and of course, Vanessa Noel and Sabrina Barnett. She's the World Cup champion polo player. She donated an amazing one-on-one polo lesson. So we had a fun time. We raised money. We raised awareness. And we're here tonight with Sandra Curry. So without any further ado, welcome back my friend Sandra Curry to Max and Friends. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, you sweetie. I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Well, it's because of you. So how did you find about this amazing Alkalol?
Boy, that's such a trip. We should be having stock in Alkalol. Actually, several years ago, I had a strep throat, and our next-door neighbor was an ENT guy, and he said, take a look at this, because I think it's better than anything you can get even by prescription. And I did, and it was, of course, phenomenal, like you know. And I started to buy it and always have it with me. And then, I mean, I gave it to my singing teacher, Sue Rainey. I've given it. Last week, I gave it to a really close friend, Armin Shimmerman, who's doing a play at the Geffen. And the next day, he said, oh, your elixir. It was tremendous, you know. It was so, honestly, this is like just the most amazing thing. That's how I got turned on to it. And it's been a staple in my medicine cabinet ever since.
It's a
sharing
staple
it with my pals like you.
Yes, and I love it. And, you know, it's so great because I was literally at Walgreens last night, and, like, afterwards I went on Twitter and I found them. And they have, like, this whole month this month they're doing a sale at Walgreens. So it was, like, additional $4 off. I'm like, this is just, like,
wow,
the best stuff. So I bought it all last night.
I'm going to go over there myself. I'm sorry, I should be quiet when you're talking.
No!
I'm going to go over there myself tomorrow.
Yes, go to Walgreens, pick it up, it's $4 off. I love them there. And I was like, you and I need to do, like, you and I, this is how I'm going to get out to L.A. I'm going to fly out there, and you and I are going to do a PSA for Alkalol.
You know what? You need to fly out here any old which way. I've got so much for you to do out here. Max, you got to get your tail out to the coast.
I know. But you see, I'm doing so much here, so it's just, you know what it is? It's just where I am is where I'm supposed to be. So I know that
well,
one day.
True.
When I'm out there and I'm going to phone you up and I know that whatever it is that you have is going to be perfect when I'm there and we're going to have a great time together.
Well, you know what? You actually are so on the money there as far as like be here now and just enjoy every single day. Oh my gosh, I love this new thing you've got going as far as, well, it's not new. It's actually just an awakening every single day about being yourself and stop competing with yourself. Oh my gosh, that we are just beautiful the way we are.
We are, and you know, Christina Aguilera sings it, and Alan Watts, today's the day that his energy dispersed into this universe, and I believe I absorbed some of his when he left today in 1973. Yeah. But you know, we're going to play tonight, after your fabulous interview, Alan Watts, Stop Competing With Yourself, because we really need to stop competing with ourselves, and we just really need to be ourselves. No?
That is so true, and just to really, you're absolutely right, let it go, let it go, let it go. Oh my gosh, and really take stock. I mean, we are our own best friends. Oh, I'm so on that right now. Honestly, everything, perfect timing actually is the clearest mantra I have almost every single day. Be here now and perfect timing.
It is. And you know, postpone nothing, perfect timing, all of these things that we really need to write on post-it notes and just remind ourselves in the car, in the bathroom, wherever you are spending your life the most, at your desk, wherever you are. Just remind yourself, where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be. That there are no mistakes and only lessons learned. Now,
an attitude.
Yes, for gratitude.
Attitude for gratitude. That's even better. I'm going to put that up tomorrow. Attitude. Gratitude for attitude. Yes.
Yes. Oh, and now here's the great thing. You've got a million things going on, like a million things. Mm-hmm. You've got a play that's coming up called Children's Guide to Suicide. Tell us about
it. Yes. Well, this is actually by a playwright at the Actors Studio. You know, my most passionate association is with the Actors Studio, and I'm kind of a newbie there. I've only been there 5 years, and it's really awakened my passion for the work as an actor, you know, the craft as an actor. And the woman who wrote this play, her name's Gina Acosta, and she's just a mind-bogglingly fabulous playwright. She has the most intelligent dialogue, and she addresses really pertinent subjects. And Marty Landau, who's our moderator along with Mark Riedel on the West Coast, is a real strong proponent of hers. And so she wrote this play, and she asked me to come on board, as well as Jack Kaler, who's another Actors Studio member. He's coming on board as a director. And so we've been developing it. And my gosh, it's, you know, I think it's probably the most exciting thing I'm doing right now. There's a lot of things I'm doing, but this one, it really addresses the whole issue, especially now with Bethany in Spokane. It really addresses the issues of euthanasia, and I play a woman who is a grand dame, practically, from South Carolina, and I discover I have a very, very advanced cancer, and I really want to have my son, who's a Harvard almost graduate, he's in his final year at Harvard, come and assist me. So it's kind of it's about so much more, but that's primarily what the issues surround, especially in the South. And he comes in and tells me, before I even get a chance to tell him what's going on, that he's dropping out of Harvard, and he's fallen in love with a black woman, which, of course, in the South was a big issue, and heading off to Africa. So it's full of all of the required plot points, but at the same time addressing that I want him to assist me in my demise. So it's heavy duty, but it's very funny at the same time, but also very pertinent. So,
and that's life. That's life. It's heavy duty, and at the same time, it's funny.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
It's the perception of life. You know,
I want you to come out, because I really think we're going to proceed with this. We've been working our tails off, and it's really exciting to be on the ground floor of a new play. And, you know, I'd love you to come out, Max. I'll really try to arrange that, because it's going to be a little while longer. But, you know, she's a very fast writer, although we've had about 6 or 8 rewrites, because she's very specific about what she wants. But it's really exciting to be on board with her.
I love it.
And the studio, of course.
When it goes on the road, you have to come and, like, do it in Palm Beach or Miami Beach. I think it could
be. Oh, of course! Our out-of-New-York tryouts. Yes, definitely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, all the New Yorkers come down here now to South Florida, so we've got them all.
Yeah, well, I'll be there, too. I'll be there with all my my fellow studio members in tow.
So that's
really exciting.
It's totally exciting. We want you back on Love Thy Neighbor.
You know what? I'm not sure. Do you know what's going on with Mr. Tyler Perry? I mean, does anyone out there know what's going on with Tyler Perry? No one knows what's going on with Tyler,
no.
Except for Tyler and his own, when he wakes up at night and goes in and looks at himself in the mirror.
Two people, Tyler and Oprah, know what's going on with Tyler. But
and honestly, I don't think Oprah really knows. Tyler is really a tightly kept secret unto his own.
No, and that's why he's so wise and brilliant, because, and I always say this, that privacy is a lost art. So he's got that lost art, like, down.
Yes, I agree with you. I only wish he was a little bit more communicative, obviously.
Well, you know what? It keeps the allure going. It keeps the allure going. But we have to say, it keeps the allure going.
That's for sure. But it keeps all of us guessing.
Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, we do have to send great thoughts out to him, because he did have a problem with a stalker. So I know that some people were like, send good thoughts over to Tyler Perry, because someone was stalking him. So it gets kind of freaky when that happens. Yeah, and he's
expecting a child.
Did you guys
see him in Gone Girl?
I haven't, but I heard amazing.
He does do a tremendous job. In fact, I haven't gotten a chance to even, I may have emailed him, but I certainly haven't spoken with him. But he really does an eye-opening job there, because everybody's got a particular point that they put him into, you know, a niche.
Yeah.
And he kind of breaks out of it. He's very, very likable, which is not surprising. He's also very good as a dramatic actor, though. He's really, really good. And then I just want to, like, kick myself, because I think, oh my gosh, I think I must have buried Miss Vivian all on my own. But, you know, that's what an actor's life. When you do something and you think, oh, I'm so sorry, I shouldn't have done that. My husband said, you were on board as an actress. You should not have been speaking up on any term, but live and learn.
Well, you know, I'm glad you brought up acting, because we have a great tweet right now, and someone wants to know, what is your most memorable moment from being on Hangover, whether 1, 2, or 3, your most memorable moment from Hangover?
Oh my gosh, my most memorable moment. There were so many, Max, but honestly, first of all, just being on the set the first time with Zach, who's just, he's a wild man, a brilliant wild man, and Todd Phillips, who have probably a secret crush on, because I just think he's a genius also, to realize, oh my God, the heavens have aligned and have put me here, and if I hadn't have been listening, I wouldn't have been there. And just to see that evolve right in front of me, and you know that it's part of something that's going to be tremendous. And I think that was my most exciting thing, was like, wow, here I am. And it was like the hugest gift and the hugest surprise amidst those people. Bradley also, you know, was tremendous and brand new and so diligent about his work. That was the most one. But I got to tell you, the second most one was the premiere of the third Hangover, which I was really those pinch me moments. I don't think I told you that, because I think the last time we spoke might have been before that premiere. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so that was really like, oh my gosh, I've never been part of a premiere like that, or a film, of course, that got that kind of attention. So the people clamoring just to speak with you and be part of this event, and were so positive and with you that thank you, all the powers that be. I felt very, very blessed, and it really was a pinch me moment. All the things I'd thought about, even as an up-and-coming actress a zillion years ago, felt like it had come to fruition for the first time there. So that was pretty fabulous.
Yeah, you know what's great is that when you're in your flow, when you're in your purpose, and when you're in your passion, the universe will always rise up to meet you and give you something bigger than you expected.
Well, you know what, and I wish I could talk to you more frequently, because I completely believe that. I think that we ourselves get in our own way and thwart the process. So I think if we really stay in an open flow and listen in a quiet way, that we get those pearls. Oh, Max, you got to tell me that so often, because I just, you know, this year was a little challenging in different respects. And part of it, I thought, you know, you've listened before, stay one foot in front of the other, be present every day, be open and loving, and really kind of beaming out from your heart with love. I know that sounds so, oh my gosh, I hate
it's so perfect. Yes, well, but that's what you need to love saying, because that's what happens. When you surrender and when you open up with your heart to what the universe has prepared for you, anything is possible. And that's why I always tell people, dream bigger.
Well, you know what? You're absolutely right. And another thing that I got recently was that, you know, people say, I give up. I can't do this anymore. I give up. And all of a sudden, I was walking down to my gate the other day, and I went, I just give up. I can't do that. And I looked up because it was a beautiful day, and I went, wait a minute. I'm not giving up. I'm giving up. I'm giving up to a higher power.
Yes.
And I say, I can't do anything more by myself. Lead me. Guide me. And if you really, truly do that, oh, my gosh, we have to share stories.
It's no, you know what?
It's phenomenal.
It is, because it becomes the ultimate moment of surrender. When you're in that place where you can surrender, just believe that something greater than you is guiding you and putting you to where you need to be, the moment is yours. And whenever that moment comes, it's a beautiful moment.
You know, I agree with you, and I also think that we also have to relinquish that why me POV that people have. Well, why did this happen to me? Why did that happen to me? Either good or not so good, because you can't go, if you're gifted, you can't go, oh my gosh, I'm talking about even in your liaison with our higher powers, you can't go, oh my gosh, why is this energy targeting me? You just have to go,
you know, the answer that I have
flow.
For that? The answer that I have when someone says, why me? I say, why not you?
Well, of course, that's,
why not you?
Yeah,
why not all
you know
of
what,
us?
You also,
it's just what
you
it
also
is.
Have to have the, yes, but you don't you also have to have the courage to say, yes, me, I'll do this. I can stand up to this responsibility and strut your stuff. You know what I mean? I think that's a really important thing, to not be afraid of this power that's really inherent in us if we say yes. Yes, I'm ready to take that. I can stand up and be that. That's a big thing. I don't know why I'm going off on this, because it's you.
It's good, because this has turned into a life class. And always the universe rises up to meet us to something bigger than what we're here for. So that's why. There's people listening that need this message. You know, whenever I go into a show, I'm like, you know what? Even though it's called Max and Friends, I just say, you know what? Let all the energy that I'm going to invest into the show tonight just ring something truthful and authentic to someone that they've never heard before, so that they can be... not even set free, just be in the moment and absorb it and love
absolutely.
It and have a great week. You know, I mean, that's what we're here
and
for.
Yes.
We're here to love on one another.
I agree with you. And also, I mean, you know, people that are tuning in, feel free to tweet me or whatever. If you need a pearl, if I can lend it, I would be so happy to. I think it's such a great gift to have this platform to share these points of view with, and to say, yes, we've gone through this too, Max. You and I have gone through the challenge of stepping up. So, you know, and we're also very, very lucky kids, you know, and we create our luck. So, which reminds me, I wanted to share with you, I don't want to get off topic, but I wanted to share with you, sharing happily and reaping endlessly, an acronym for SHARE for children, that we
S-H-A-R-E. Not C-H-E-R.
That's right. S-H-A-R-E. We've aligned ourselves, kind of collaborated with Nigel Lithgow's Dizzy Feet, and had an event this last Monday, which was hugely successful, and we're sponsoring the Summer Olympics, the Summer Olympics Special Olympics, I mean, 2015. And,
yes.
Boy, you talk about inspiring. That was really exciting. So I just want to put that out in the universe for people who want to hop
absolutely.
On board.
Absolutely. And where can we go get more information?
Go to SHARE, S-H-A-R-E, for the numeral 4, children.org. You can get it there. You can also get it at Dizzy Feet, which is Nigel Lithgow's. It's at Dizzy Feet. That's his Twitter handle. Tell him that you're aligned with SHARE, or mention my name, however you choose. And also the Special Olympics, but I think it's easier. You can cut to the chase with either Dizzy Feet or SHARE.
That's fantastic. Now, let's just do a quick flashback, because, you know, that's become like the new thing, throwback, flashback.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm going to say a name, and I want you to tell me the first thought that comes to your mind when I say Miss Crawford, 1971.
Miss Crawford? Oh, my gosh, Max. Was that... No, was that... No. I don't know who Miss Crawford was. I remember Miss Wickwire was in a Mannix. Who is Miss Crawford?
They have you slated as Miss Crawford in Mannix in 1971.
Oh, my gosh. I thought my name was Miss Wickwire. Well, congratulations to you. That was my first TV show ever. Oh, my gosh. And someone said that was on the air. Did you see it?
You know what? I didn't see it, but what happened was I was going through, because I love doing like these games, you know, when our lives just, everyone says, oh, I don't have time, when time is really all we have. And when we look back at everything we've done, it's so much. So I like to go back to like first projects for people, because mm-hmm. it's just the time that's been from them till now. It's like, do we even remember?
yeah, I remember that, but I thought the character's name was Miss Wickwire. I've got to look that up, Miss
You know
Crawford.
What? Look that up, and in the event that it is, that's why I always tell people, never believe anything on the internet. And that was a great quote from Abraham Lincoln. Don't
that's
believe
a good
things
one.
You read on the
internet. They well, should really take heed to that.
You know, there's a funny quote going around actually on the internet that says, don't believe anything you read on the internet, Abraham Lincoln.
Do you think it was slightly adapted?
Exactly. So,
oh my gosh.
But in the case that that's true, then call up Wikipedia and say, y'all need to fix my last name.
Well, you know, Wikipedia, I am really, this is like my big pet peeve right now. Wikipedia has aligned themselves with IMDb. Do you know IMDb?
Of course,
the Internet
yeah.
Movie Database. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like the go-to place, and they're kind of getting into this huge monopoly. They put up what they want to put up. Wikipedia used to be more dependable, but since they aligned with IMDb, and this is another pet peeve for actors, and probably for you too, is IMDb chooses to print our ages, or what they think our ages are, and it's just relentless about trying to tell them either take it down, put age range. I mean,
right.
I went into such a brouhaha with them that I sent off, you know, they wanted me to send certified, unredacted copies of passports and marriage licenses and all that, which I did. I didn't send my passport, but I sent my marriage license, and then they basically said that's not enough. So I've
Isn't
been
crazy?
With them. Yeah.
You know, and
I mean,
it's
who
funny
cares?
Because Whoopi Goldberg goes, if you believe what you see on IMDb and Wikipedia, then I am 97 years old.
Well, I think I have one that says I'm about 110, which I say,
oh
bravo.
Wow.
Yeah, I have
your
the best
doctor?
Plastic
That's
surgeon.
Good.
That's exactly So I choose to use that one. I am very old. It's a picture of Dorian Gray, don't you remember?
Exactly, right?
So, oh, Max, I miss you.
I know, and I love having you on because it's just so inspiring. So we'll have to, like, you know, we'll have to just set a really good time apart where we can just do a life class of just everyday experiences where people, they say, you know what, we're going to tune in because Sandra's going to be on and we just want to be inspired. So let's plan that in the new year for sure. We'll have to have
you
on.
Are you doing these life classes every day?
You know what? I think every day is a life class.
Right? But, I mean, are you sharing it with other people? I would love to do this with you. Seriously, if you really want to...
Let's do it.
No, I'm not kidding you.
Neither am I.
I think this is actually a calling when I go, why am I here? I mean, I really do appreciate that I've been given the gift, and as you have too, of sharing our lives with other people and all that. But as far as a life class, I think that's what it's all about. I really think that we're here to enlighten and give and share. I mean, we've fallen and stumbled our knees so many times, at least I have, that I can't even tell you. And I've made so many mistakes. But then it's the next day that you look up again and beam out with your heart and go forward. And I would love to do that with you. Why
so
don't we try to do that?
We will. We do them. I do a lot of life classes here on Max and Friends. We have one great guest. She's coming back on for to kick off the new year. Her whole book is called The Champagne Diet, and it's really good. And how we're and I had the realization we're all just like bubbles in a champagne flute, and we're just all together rising to the top. So
that
together we rise. I know that you know it's great to give the energy that we love. There's no, and you said mistakes. To me, there's no such thing as mistakes. There's only lessons learned. So
and you know what it is? It's a miss-take.
Yeah,
think about it like that. It's a mistake. So you go for take two.
Exactly. And when people say, again, I'm going to reiterate, oh, I don't have the time. Time is all we have. You know, but, and the time, I wish we had more time here because we've got to move along because we're playing the amazing Alan Watts, Stop Competing Yourself, an original
broadcast. You go do it. Thank you for spending the time with me. Let me share one more thing.
No, it's my pleasure. Share many as you want. Tell me everything.
Okay, sweetheart, let me just tell you, I told you about Children's Guide to Suicide. I want to tell you about another script we have in development, which I'll share with you next time, called The Method, which is also being developed from Actors Studio people. It's a feature. And also where Ganymede Pan is still moving on. It's been filmed now. It's in the can. It's being pitched. So I'm sharing those things with you, but the most important thing is, you know, Cher and Dizzy Feet in the Special Olympics 2015. I love you, Max.
I'm going to call you after the show. We'll talk after the show for sure. I adore
you. Call me tomorrow, darling, will you?
Super. I will call you tomorrow.
Okay, and I have this number. I want to hear Alan Watts. I'll be tuning in.
All right. Have a beautiful night. Thank you for your time. And just, you know what? Inspire. Continue to inspire, because that's what you do.
Oh, thank you, Max. You inspire me.
Have a beautiful week ahead.
You too. Bye-bye for now.
Bye, darling. All right, everyone. Alan Watts, your energy is with me. I feel it. I love it. Stop competing with yourself, people. I'm going to let this play out until the end of the show. Have a great week. Because I'm going to rest my voice now and take some more alcohol. Thank you to Sandra Curry. Tweet her. Go find her on Twitter right now. Tweet us at Max Tucci. Take life to the max. Good night. Good karma. Love one another. We've got some amazing shows. Stay tuned. If you miss any portion, go to latalkradio.com/Max for 7 years of archives. Right now, Alan Watts. Stop competing with yourself on Max and Friends.
Now, you see, what is, let me speak specifically for a moment. I said the subject of this is LSD. LSD is one such chemical that does produce this curious effect of making you aware of the polarity of things. It does lots of other things. It does lots of rather unessential and trivial things. And these, of course, in all the publicity in the various national magazines about LSD, get thoroughly emphasized. In other words, when somebody says something's real psychedelic, they mean bizarre. And when the national magazines try to illustrate the effect of these chemicals with various photographs, they come on with blurred photographs of all sorts of things higgledy-piggledy messed together, naked girls seen through prisms. Well, that's absolutely nothing to do with it. If you wanted some sort of appropriate illustration for a Life magazine article on the effects of LSD, you would have one very simple solution. You would publish the most gorgeous color reproductions of Persian miniatures and of Moorish arabesques and of the illuminations of Celtic manuscripts. That would give you the story, so far as changes in human sensation are concerned. But there would be one thing very difficult to put across in pictures, because the people who looked at them, if they didn't get the point of view, wouldn't see it. And that is what I will call the sensation, as well as the intellectual understanding, of polarity. That is to say, that the inside and the outside, the subjective and the objective, the self and the other, go together. In other words, there is a harmony, an unbreakable harmony. When I'm using the word harmony, I don't necessarily mean something sweet. I mean absolute concordant relationship between what goes on inside your skin and what goes on outside your skin. It isn't that what goes on outside is so powerful that it pushes around and controls what goes on inside. Equally so, it isn't that what goes on inside is so strong that it often succeeds in pushing around what goes on outside. It is very simply that the two processes, the two behaviors, are one. What you do is what the universe does. And what the universe does is also what you do. not you in the sense of your superficial ego, which is a very small, little tiny area of your conscious sensitivity, but you in the sense of your total psychophysical organism, conscious as well as unconscious. This is not something that arrived in the world from somewhere else altogether, that confronts an alien reality. What you are is the universe, in fact, the works, what there is, and always has been, and always will be forever and ever, performing an act called a John Doe. And this is such a subversion of common sense. But is it fact, matter of fact, something, if you stop to think about it, that is completely obvious. Only everything conspires to prevent you from seeing that obvious thing. Because when you were babies, practically, all your parents and your teachers and your aunts and uncles and your older brothers and sisters got together and they told you who you were. They defined you as Johnny, who is just Johnny. And don't you come on too strong, Johnny, because, no, you've got elders and betters around you. But you're responsible. You're a free agent. You'd better be. And so, when you are told from childhood that you are expected and commanded to behave in a way that will be acceptable only if you do it voluntarily, you remain permanently mixed up. That, if anything, is permanent brain damage. So, but that's the idea, you see, because that's the game we're playing. You started it. I didn't. See? That's the game we're playing. We can make all kinds of complexities out of that, and really, in a way, have enormous fun. But once anybody sees through that, well, we're frightened. Once you get this sense of polarity, of your inside being the same process as your outside, and your ego being one and the same process as the whole universe going on, then we are afraid that people may say, well, good equals bad, and we can do anything we like, and we needn't in any way be further subject to the ordinary rules of human conduct, and we can wear what clothes we like or no clothes at all, we can have what sexual life we like, we can do anything. And we are going to generally, because the world is being rather oppressive towards us, challenge the whole thing and run amok. And a lot of people are doing just exactly that. So I want to introduce into this whole problem some ancient wisdom. I have really two things to talk about. How cultures, which always did know in some way, or among whom a large number of people always did know this secret, handled it. And then I want to make some observations about how we're trying to handle it and how it's not going to work. Among the Hindus and among the Buddhists, this view of the real identity of a human being has always been known, at least by a very influential minority. The central doctrine of the Hindu way of life, I call it that rather than a religion, is in Sanskrit, tattvamasi. You're it. Put it in a kind of colloquial way. You're it. And it is the which than which there is no witcher, which they call the Brahman, or the Atman with a capital A, meaning the self. You are only just kidding that you're just poor little me. See, the function of a guru, that is to say a spiritual teacher in India, is to look, give you a funny look in the eye, because you come to him and say, Mr. Guru, I have problems. I suffer and it's a mess and I can't control my mind and I'm miserable and depressed and so on. And he gives you a funny look. And you feel a bit nervous about the way he looks at you, because he's reading your thoughts. And this man is a great magician. He can read everything that's in you. He knows right down into your unconscious, and you know all the dreadful things you've thought and all the awful desires you have, and you are rather embarrassed that this man looks right through you and sees them all. But that's not what he's looking at. He's giving you a funny look for quite another reason altogether, because he sees in you the Brahman, the Godhead, just claiming it's poor little me. And he's going to eventually, by all sorts of subtle techniques that are called in Sanskrit upaya, that in politics means chicanery, and in spiritual education means skillful pedagogy. He is going to try and kid you back into realizing who you really are. And that's why he gives you a funny look. And why he seems to see right through you. As if to say, Shiva, old boy, don't kid me. I know who you are. But you're coming on beautifully in this act. That you're somebody else altogether. And I congratulate you. You're doing a wonderful job playing this part, which you call the person. My person, you know, a person is a fake. The word means a mask. So if you read books on how to be a real person, you're reading books on how to be a genuine fake. The word persona, as you know, means a mask worn in Greco-Roman drama. So if you come on to the guru and say, well, he asks you who you are. Sri Ramana Maharshi, when anybody came to him and they said to him, as people do, who was I in my last incarnation? Or will I be reincarnated again? He always replied, who's asking the question? And everybody was irritated because he wouldn't give them answers about what they were in their former lives. He just said, who are you? And he looked at you. Have you looked at photographs of this man? I keep a photograph of him close by because of the humor in his eyes. They're looking at you with a dancing twinkle, saying, come off it. Now then, in these Asiatic traditions, it is well recognized that people who get the knowledge that you're it may very well run amok. And therefore, they always couple any method of gaining this, whether it is yoga, whether it is smoking something or drinking something or whatever is the method, they always couple it with a discipline. Now, I know the word discipline isn't very popular these days. And I would like to have a new word for it. Because most people who teach disciplines don't teach them very well. They teach it with a kind of violence. As if a discipline was something that is going to be extremely unpleasant and that you're going to have to put up with. But that's not the real secret of discipline. I would prefer to use the word skill. Discipline is a way of expression. Say you want to express your feelings in stone. Now stone doesn't give way very easily. It's tough stuff. And so you have to learn the skill or the discipline of the sculptor in order to express yourself in stone. And so in every other way, whatever you do, you require a skill. And it's enormously important, especially for American people, to understand that there is absolutely no possibility of having any pleasure in life at all without skill. Money doesn't buy pleasure. Ever. Look, if you want to get stoned drunk and go out and get a bottle of bourbon and down it, you can't do that except for people who have practiced the distiller's art. You can't even make love without art. Where I live in Sausalito, we have a harbor full of ever so many pleasure craft. Motor cruisers, sailing boats, all kinds of things. And they never leave the dock. All that happens with them is their owners have cocktail parties there on Saturdays and Sundays. Because they discovered, having bought these things, that the discipline of sailing is difficult to learn and takes a lot of time. And they didn't have time for it, so they just bought the thing as a status symbol. So, in other words, you can't have pleasure in life without skill. But it isn't a unpleasant task to learn a skill. If the teacher, in the first place, gets you fascinated with it. There is immense pleasure in learning how to do anything skillfully. To make carpentry things, to cook, to write, to calculate, anything you want. It can be immensely pleasurable to learn the discipline. And it is completely indispensable. Because look, you may be a very inspired musician. I'm not a musical technologist, you see, and I regret it, but I'm a word technologist. But I can hear in my head all kinds of symphonies and all kinds of marvelous compositions, but I don't have the technique to write them down on paper and share them with somebody else. Too bad. Maybe next time around. But you see, so far as words are concerned, I can express ideas because I have studied language. And I worked very hard. Not that I didn't like it, I intensely enjoy the work of writing a book, although it is difficult. But it's fascinating. To say what can never possibly be said. So, you see what's happening. What you have to do, you have inspiration, but then you have to have technique to incarnate, to express your inspiration. That is to say, to bring heaven down to earth and to express heaven in terms of earth. Of course, they are really one behind the scenes. But there's no way of pointing it out unless you do something skillful. You see, we are all at the moment absolutely in the midst of the beatific vision. We are all one with the divine, or some, I don't like that sort of wishy-washy language. But we are all there. But we are so much there that we're like fish in water. They don't know they're in water. Like the birds don't know they're in the air because it's all around them. And in the same way, we don't know what the color of our eyes is. I don't mean whether you've got blue or brown eyes, but the color of the lens of your eye. You call that transparent. No color. See, because you can't see it. But it's basic to being able to see anything. So in order to find out where you are, there has to be some way of drawing attention to it. And that involves skill. Upaya in Sanskrit. Skillful means. So, it's all very well. Anybody can have ecstasy. Anybody, as a matter of fact, can become aware that he is one with the eternal ground of the universe. But since that's what you are anyway, I'm going to ask, so what? When a hero goes on an adventure and he leaves his people and is going to a strange land, he can go away and just hide himself around the corner in an obscure house and then appear a year later and say, I've been on a heroic journey, and tell all sorts of tales. And they say, prove it. Because they expect him to bring back something, something which nobody has seen before. Then they believe you've been on the journey. So in the same way, exactly, anybody who goes on a spiritual journey must bring something back. Because if you just say, oh man, it was a gas. Anyone can say that. Now this is why in the doctrines of Buddhism, there is a differentiation between two kinds of enlightened beings. They are both forms of Buddha, which is to say the word Buddha means somebody who has awakened, who has discovered the secret behind all this. In other words, all this thing we call life with its frantic concerns is a big act, which you, in your unconscious depths, are deliberately setting up. So you can do one of two things when you discover this. You can become what's called a Pratyeka Buddha, that means a private Buddha, who doesn't tell anything. Or you can become a bodhisattva. A Pratyeka Buddha goes off into his ecstasy and never is seen again. Bodhisattva is one who comes back and appears in the everyday world and plays the game of the everyday world by the rules of the everyday world. But he brings with him upaya. He brings with him some way of showing that he's been on the journey, that he's come back, and he's going to let you in on the secret too. If you'll play it cool. and also come back to join in the everyday life of everyday people. Because this is the rule. If the world is dramatic, if the world, as the Hindus say, is a big act put on by the divine self, one of the rules of coming on stage is that you don't come on as yourself. You come on as the part that you're going to play. It's very bad form if an actor always acts the same way. That's what's called a star, as distinct from an actor. A real actor can become anything. And so, but in private life, well, he's just Mr. Jones. And, but he doesn't come on the stage that way. So in the same way, if you know that behind the scenes, in the depths, fundamentally, you are it, you don't come on that way. It always comes on as something else. That's the rule of the stage. Because without that, there wouldn't be a play. There would only be reality. No illusion. And the whole point of life is illusion. From the word Latin, ludere, to play. Showbiz. The show must go on, so don't give it away. But truth has a way of leaking. It gets out. But then the important thing is, you see, when the truth gets out, those who catch hold of it must find a way of staying in contact with what society calls reality. That is to say, if you have a radio, you don't only need an antenna, you also need a ground. So what happens in the world of mysticism, of psychedelic visions, and so on, needs to be grounded. So then, there are always two directions in which such a discipline works. One, preparatory. In other words, those who taught disciplines for awakening in the Orient were always careful to screen, first of all to screen those who applied, and then after screening them, to make them sensible, so that they knew how to handle the game and of ordinary human existence and play it by the ordinary human rules. In other words, that they had strength of character and were not the sort of people who would be wiped out because they had no strength of character by an overwhelming experience. Then they let them in. But there are certain disciplines, such as Zen, where you get into the essential secret very early on in the discipline. And after that, they are concerned with much more training in showing you how to use it. How to use the power, to use the vision which you have acquired. And so it is with the current, what we will call LSD scene, that is raging through the United States. It unfortunately lacks discipline. And I'm not trying to say this in a kind of severe, authoritarian, paternalistic way, but only that it would be so much more fun if it had it. In other words, when people try to express what they have seen in this kind of changed state of consciousness, they show five movies going on at once, projected upon torn bed sheets, with stroboscopic lights going as fast as possible at the same time, and 11 jazz bands playing. And they're going to blow their minds, baby. And everybody else who hasn't seen this thing look around and say, well, it's a mess. I don't like the looks of it. Let's suppose that while you were very, very high on LSD, you looked into a filthy ashtray and you saw the beatific vision. Which is, of course, the case, because wherever you look, if your eyes are open, you will see the face of the divine. Then you come out of your ecstasy with the dirty ashtray and say to everybody, here it is. No. There is a possibility. If you are an extraordinarily skillful painter, or even photographer, of presenting the dirty ashtray so that everybody else will see almost what you saw in it. But you will have to have a technique which will translate every grain of ash into a jewel. Because that's what you actually saw. But that requires mastery of an art. And I'm afraid people think that all it's necessary to do is just throw out any old thing, because under that transformed state of consciousness, any old thing is the works. But nobody else can see it if they haven't shared that point of view. So then, this becomes for us in the United States an extremely important social problem. The cat is out of the bag. We are living in a scientific world where secrets cannot be kept. And anyone, anytime, can pick up something which will short-circuit all the ancient religious techniques, yoga practice, meditation, etc., etc. This is all very embarrassing, but it will happen, not for everybody, but for a lot of people. And they will see what all those sages and Buddhas and yogis and prophets saw in ancient times. And it will be very clear. So what? So you see, you can say...
He says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back, back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip. Got this.